Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I thought, what would be better than to use my 34 years in the veterinary industry than to help you guys, the pet owner? What are your questions? What do you need to know? What would you like to know? I want to create a completely interactive podcast where you, the listener, can ask your questions and we will answer them. I will have industry-leading professionals come in and have conversations about your very questions. What keeps you up at night? What worries you about your pet? What worries you about the cost of taking care of your animal? There's so many things that we can talk about, but I need you to tell me what we need to come up with. Because if you do that, we can have a great, great, great session.
It is a lot of fun to do this. I actually love it.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Irreplaceable Tales. I'm Dr. G, and I'm sitting next to the long torsoed Dr. LaBelle. She makes me look short, and you also look like her father. But, you know, what am I supposed to do? I just want to remind you, this podcast is made for you guys. It's all about the pet owner and what you guys want to listen to. Nothing we cannot diagnose on this podcast. We do not have the client-patient relationship, but we can educate and give you advice as much as you want. So welcome, Dr. LaBelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So this is going to be fun. Mallory is going to be, we're going to play a quick game of, is it an emergency or not?
Okay. Let's do it.
Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm. We are so ready.
All right. My dog just ate an entire bar of dark chocolate, but he seems fine.
Emergency.
That is for sure an emergency. I don't care if you have a 180-pound Great Dane mm-hmm. or a 3-pound Yorkie.
Yep.
Dark chocolate is a big no-no.
Yep.
Milk chocolate you can get away with, though.
Yeah. A little less scary. Right. But the dark chocolate,
the
emergency.
Dark baking chocolate.
Yeah.
The marijuana-infused chocolate.
Also not good.
No. I've never had an animal die of marijuana toxicity, mm-hmm. but there is a chance that it could happen. I haven't seen it. They would have to have taken a huge, huge dose. Mm-hmm. But dark chocolate is no joke.
No joke.
Kit Kat. That all depends on the animal's size. Mm-hmm. Peanut M&M's, stuff like that. Whole box of See's candy probably needs to be seen.
Yeah, I would agree.
Especially during the holiday season.
Valentine's Day, Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for those. Mm-hmm. So they need to be brought in. They need to probably be made to vomit. They need some fluids. We got to flush it out of the system. You know, if they are going to have a reaction, they usually are looking like they're on speed. I mean, that's the reaction. Yeah. The bromethalin that's in there mm-hmm. can really get their heart racing. So you got to be careful.
Yep.
All right. Next one I have for you guys. My cat is throwing up, but only once a week.
Not an emergency. But should be worked up.
Yes. What's the first thing you would ask them, though?
How many times they're vomiting, what they're so many things come to mind.
The easiest question is, what does the vomit look like? Does it look like a long tube? Because if it usually does, it's a hairball.
Yeah.
So that's usually the question I would ask you is, what hairball medication are you giving?
Yeah.
Or what hairball medication should you be giving, right? I mean, mm-hmm. All right, the next one we're going to go to.
Getting back to that, Vaseline is not a hairball remedy.
Yeah.
Mineral oil is not a hairball remedy.
No.
What other ones have you heard? Have you heard of any other ones?
I like, owners do?
For a hairball.
No, I haven't heard too many of those. They usually ask me. I haven't had too many really obscure things.
Oh, you're lucky. Yeah. You're very lucky. Okay.
All right, the next one we're going with. My dog is scooting his butt across the floor. Worms, emergency, is he possessed?
Definitely not an emergency, but you need to get those anal glands expressed ASAP. It's uncomfortable.
Yes, the anal glands are right inside the rectum. They're located at 4 and 7 o'clock. That's that horrible smell. Mm-hmm. That you usually sometimes get on your pillowcase, your bed.
Fishy smell.
I think the official term is butt wheelies.
Oh,
yeah. We use butt wheelies is the term we use it in.
So accurate.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Very, very rarely have I seen worms cause that. Yeah. Usually the worms that you will see is a tapeworm.
Yep.
And they look like little pieces of rice in their stool or around their rectum in the fur. Mm-hmm. But even then, that doesn't cause an itch mm-hmm. like that.
Or it could be fleas. Could be fleas.
When in doubt.
Fleas.
Southern California.
Yeah.
Southern Texas, South Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have, my puppy ate an entire sock, but he looks happy. Emergency?
That's a really tough one. Because it's always one of those things, do you make them vomit? Do you not make them vomit? You know, or do you just see if they can pass it?
Well, we need a better history.
Yeah.
Is it a little onesie from their kid, or is it a big old fashioned tube sock from the, 1980s basketball team?
Yeah.
Is it one of those big thick wool socks? Mm-hmm. Was it chewed up at all? Because then it becomes a linear foreign body, which can cut through the intestinal tract quicker than anything. You just got to be really careful with those. I always said, how long ago did it happen? Mm-hmm. Chances are it won't pass through the stomach. I would go with the vomit, especially if it's a lab puppy, because it's going to happen many times. Mm-hmm. A golden puppy, a crazy puppy. If it's a, you won't have the chihuahua that eats a sock.
Mm-hmm.
It's
never.
Usually, you won't. It's usually,
retrievers. They just,
if anything, it would be the chihuahua that ate the finger.
Yeah.
Right?
They're
the little land sharks. I love my chihuahuas. They're as sweet as anything. But, that's a whole different thing when we talk about breeds. But mm-hmm. usually it's the crazy, young, big breed puppy that does it. There's a chance, yes, it's going to pass through mm-hmm. if it's a small little baby sock or, a little ankle sock. But you're better off getting them in, inducing vomiting.
Have you ever had it, though, where you induce vomiting and then they can't get it all the way up or it doesn't come out?
Yep. And then you go down with a scope.
Yeah. Scope. Then it becomes emergency at that point.
Yeah.
Then you got to go to emergency to do the scope.
Because not everything that goes in the stomach, though, will pass through into the intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. It'll just sit there. I had a bloodhound that came in once because it ate an entire cellophane-wrapped frozen pizza. And it was sick 2 days later. And the crazy thing about that case is I took an x-ray and I said, yeah, we still see the cellophane. You can kind of make it out there because, they kind of make it a little metallic looking. But I'm like, what is this? And the owner looks at me and said, oh, that's the purse I've been missing for 3 months.
An entire purse?
Yeah, bloodhound.
Whoa.
Same bloodhound, about 6 months later, ate an entire military boot. You could see the eyes from the lacing.
He is very hungry.
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
All right, let's see what else we have here. We have, my dog yelped in pain when I touched his ear, but now he's acting normal. Emergency?
It's not an emergency, but I would also go to the vet shortly after having that encounter. Could be a foxtail.
Foreign body.
Yes. Foreign body of some kind.
But more than likely, it's an ear infection.
Or an ear infection, yeah, which is not an emergency, but it hurts. So definitely go to the vet ASAP. But you do not need to go to an emergency clinic at midnight for that situation.
Yeah, usually it's the same thing. If you've ever had swimmer's ear, mm-hmm. it hurts horrendously.
Yeah.
They are painful. But it, again, it's not an emergency, but if you see blood, mm-hmm. it probably should be seen.
Yeah.
If their ear flap fills with fluid, that's also not an emergency, mm-hmm. but it needs to be taken care of within about, I would say, 24 hours to be safe.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Some of these questions. My dog licked a toad and now he looks high. Emergency?
That goes back to toxicology days.
Oh, yeah.
That's mostly in the South. They have what they call the boo-foo toad.
Oh, okay.
And
that's the DMT,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So the boo-foo toad can be toxic. Mm-hmm. And it can also be, again, it all depends on the size of the animal. It takes a lot more of licking of a boo-foo toad for a St. Bernard than it would for mm-hmm. a poodle, a miniature
yeah.
poodle.
Yeah.
But again, it's something that probably should be seen because they're acting neurologic if they're high.
Yeah. Right.
And with that, anything toxic is an emergency.
Or at least deserves a phone call.
Yeah.
All right. My cat swallowed a long string, but it hasn't come out yet.
Oh my gosh, that's the linear foreign body he was just discussing. Yes, that's an emergency. Needs to be seen. Those are the worst.
We see a lot of those at Christmas time from all the ribbon.
Strings, yeah.
Yeah. Linear foreign bodies, again, they work like a saw because the intestinal tract's moving, and that string's going to be doing this against the intestinal lining, and it'll cut right through. I think Mallory was there when it happened. We actually had the string coming out of the mouth and out of the rectum.
Yeah. No way.
We had looked and looked and looked, and the owner was actually called to see if she could cut the string or pull the string, and we were like, no, just,
you know,
come in, let's take a look. After x-rays, I mean, those were the most plicated intestines I have ever seen.
Wow.
But we ended up lifting up, going in under the tongue, and it had actually rubbed into the tongue and kind of eaten away into the tongue. And went all the way through the intestinal tract on the way out.
Yes, so always check underneath the tongue of your cat, if you can, to see if there is anything caught there as well.
Mm. My dog ate an entire rotisserie chicken, bones and all. This is like back to the sock question, right?
It's kind of, but bones are extra scary
right, to
me for vomiting purposes. I mean, a sock is going to be more likely a smoother sail up to the vomit. The bones can also do some damage on the way up with vomiting. So that one I would not. I mean, it's an emergency in terms of, yes, you should be seen and the dog should be evaluated. But inducing vomiting, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go straight to surgery either. So it's kind of a waiting game.
Yeah, I usually tell them, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of diarrhea.
Lots, yeah.
A lot of diarrhea. If the dog starts vomiting, that's usually the sign of the obstruction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you can monitor the stool for bones. Just mm-hmm. if the dog's running around and happy at home and eating and keeping it down, mm-hmm. chances are that everything's going to be okay.
Gonna pass, yeah.
One of the tricks that we used to do is we used to say feed them a boatload of canned pumpkin because that wraps around the bones and then forces everything out.
I used to say white bread.
White bread?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweet potatoes, like, another thing.
Stuff it. Just kind of.
Yeah, keep going.
We have, my dog just ran full speed into a glass door. He shook it off.
Oh, no.
Emergency?
No.
No, if the dog's acting fine, it should be okay.
Happens to my dog all the time.
I mean,
fine.
I mean,
less brain cells.
How many humans do you know that have gone full blast into a glass door?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really talk about concussions in dogs. Mm-hmm. Not many people are going to want to jump into a $12,000 MRI.
Yeah, no way.
But the sign to look for is if they're acting neurologic. So they're stumbling, they're salivating, they're acting very depressed.
Circling,
yes.
Knuckling, anything like that?
Anything like that. Absolutely. That needs to be seen ASAP. Mm-hmm.
My pet got stung by a bee and now looks like a pufferfish.
Oh, that's an emergency for sure. Just like humans, anaphylactic shock, you know, you need medication. Time is of the essence, so get them in. Especially the brachycephalic dogs with the bee sting. They already have trouble breathing. Then you have airways closing. That's not a good situation. So,
brachiocephalic dogs are dogs that won the 50-yard dash and the 40-yard gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're smush-faced.
Yes.
Interesting.
I should have said that.
Yeah. Oh, that's no problem. The interesting part with anaphylaxis is that the dog's toxic organ is the liver. So usually when dogs get puffy, they're going to start vomiting and having diarrhea. Horses, cats, humans, the anaphylactic organ is the
gallbladder.
Lungs.
What?
So you're going to learn stuff here today too. So basically anaphylactic shock in a person, if I get stung by a bee, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
If people have a peanut allergy, their airway shuts off. But that's not always the case in dogs. I mean, if the swelling gets bad enough.
Yeah. I'm talking about the swelling.
Yes, that's a huge problem. But their actual shock organ is the liver. So they'll act more depressed, vomiting, diarrhea, stuff like that.
But you're talking like when you look and the gallbladder is all speckly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we actually, a little side note, my dog actually just got stung by a bee. We couldn't figure out what was going on with her. We ended up pulling blood and her liver value was elevated, which is what we ended up figuring out. Ended up being a bee sting, not some weird lesion that she that she had acquired. So,
and also if your animal gets stung by a bee, you can give immediately 1 milligram per pound of Benadryl. Those little pink Benadryls are usually 25 milligrams. Mm-hmm. But look, so if your dog weighs 10 pounds, you give 10 milligrams. Mm-hmm. If your dog weighs 25 pounds, you give 25 milligrams. If your dog's 100 pounds, give it 100 milligrams of Benadryl. It's a very easy calculation. It's something you should know. There's going to be not one veterinarian out there that will yell at you for giving Benadryl immediately.
Yeah.
And just Benadryl. The active ingredient is just diphenhydramine.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So even if you have generic Benadryl, diphenhydramine at home, that will work.
Mm-hmm.
Other antihistamines help, but they're not as effective as Benadryl.
Yep.
But if the veterinarian does give you a hard time for giving Benadryl on your way in, probably not the right veterinarian for you. I'm just saying.
All right, we're going to switch it up from pets making bad life choices. Let's talk about gross but concerning. My dog's poop is bright red, but he ate a red crayon yesterday.
That makes sense.
Not an emergency, no?
No.
No. All right. What about my cat's pee suddenly smells like ammonia?
Yeah, that's not great. But it's not an emergency, but get them checked out. I feel like that's my answer for everything. Not an emergency, but get them checked out.
Well, they should be checked out. I mean, we're just trying to educate everybody on here. But that ammonia smell, it could be a multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they have the litter that actually is pretty good at saying whether or not there's blood in the air.
You think that's accurate?
From the studies I've read, they're pretty accurate.
Okay.
You know, they have ones that look for sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the big smell of ammonia is high blood urea nitrogen, which is a byproduct that the kidneys get rid of. And there could be something going on with the kidneys. So, again, monitor appetite, monitor water consumption. Monitor how many times you're scooping out the litter box. Are those clumps getting bigger when you're scooping it? Or do you have to empty the litter box often because it's just so, it's one big clay brick?
Mm-hmm.
But the smell of ammonia is something that probably should be checked for. It's hard to find blood in the urine, especially unless they go in the sink or on your, you know, on your white furniture. It's hard to see the blood, but that's something you probably should get checked out. But it does not need to be seen that night.
Yeah.
My dog is sneezing a lot. Dog flu or just being dramatic? Emergency?
I mean, there's a lot of reasons for a lot of sneezing. I mean, you've seen dogs even when they do like a happy sneeze, like a over and over. They could have something stuck up their nose, like a foxtail or a different type of foreign body. It could just be an allergy in the house or in the air environment. Could be true respiratory infection as well. So unless there's a large amount of neon discharge coming out.
Or blood,
I do not believe it's an emergency.
The dog flu doesn't work like that. The dog flu, you have a very lethargic animal with a very high fever. There is a lot of morbidity, meaning that animals get sick, but minimal mortality.
Yeah.
There is a dog flu vaccine that when we did have that big outbreak right after COVID, you know, it actually got nationally backordered because everywhere requires a dog flu vaccine if you're going to board, groom. And if they don't, then that might, you might want to go find a different place just because you do not want your dog exposed to the dog flu, nor do you want your dog to give the dog flu to another animal. And the second strain of dog flu is contagious to people. So you got to be very careful with that as well.
All right. What about my cat's pupils are huge and he's acting like he's seeing ghosts.
That sounds like it could be a marijuana toxicity.
I mean, well, when a cat's pupils get big, you need a more thorough history.
Yeah.
That's not enough for you, the big pupils.
The big pupils, though, could be retinal detachment from high blood pressure, from kidney disease or increased thyroid function. I mean, but we won't see that in a cat, an indoor cat, until they're like, I mean, when do you even start talking about that, 11, 12? I mean, I've seen it a lot earlier.
Yeah, it can just happen.
It can just happen. But if the pupils are dilated and the cat's going frantic, did it get into something? Cats that eat a Benadryl will act like that. They will act like they are on speed.
We have my dog's stomach looks bloated, but he just finished dinner.
That's an emergency.
One of the tricks we used to do, because we used to see a lot of dog bloat at our clinic, because we did a lot of bloodhounds, basset hounds, goldens, rotties, St. Bernards, Bernese Mountain Dogs, Great Pyrenees, Newfoundlands, standard poodles. We even had a Springer Spaniel that bloated. The one thing we would tell them is get out a measuring tape, like what you would use to cut material. Measure every 10 minutes. Is it getting bigger or is it getting smaller? Because you can bloat, you can get away with a little bit of time.
It always worries me with GDV.
Yeah. So GDV is when the stomach bloats and then twists.
Yeah.
That is horrendous, and that needs to be taken care of ASAP.
And if you have a deep-chested animal, when you're spaying them or neutering them, you can always ask to get the stomach tacked, which lessens the chances of that happening.
They can still bloat, but they won't twist.
They won't twist, yeah.
So you can always stick a tube down there to decompress them.
My dog bit into an electrical cord and yelped, but seems normal now.
I would still get that checked because you would want to ensure there's no caustic damage to the tongue, and you would also want to x-ray the chest.
Yeah, the chest is the big problem there, because animals who eat electric cords, their lungs can fill with fluid, and that's called pulmonary edema. You see it with congestive heart failure.
Yep.
But the quick check is to look at their mouth, look at their tongue, look at their jawline, the lower jawline, the upper jawline. Do you see a char? And if you do, you get there immediately, because the lungs won't fill with fluid like that. That's more of a delayed response. We've seen it 2-3 days later, but that's something that you can take care of. There's medicine, there's diuretics you can give, which is Lasix. That's the one, that furosemide that everyone knows of. And actually, you just keep giving them Lasix until that whole reaction stops.
Monitor very closely.
My pet drank a bunch of pool water.
Watch out for chlorine farts. And even, you know, and the fun thing is, like, people are like, oh, I have a desalinated pool. I use desal. Sodium chloride is a salt, but it goes through a process where the salt becomes chlorine, because salt is sodium and chloride. So the sodium just stays in the water, but the chlorine becomes activated. So, but again, no, pool water, just chlorine farts.
Chlorine farts.
My dog's tongue is blue all of a sudden.
Emergency.
Immediately.
Yep, that's no joke.
Call on your way to the emergency clinic.
My cat's ears are yellow.
emergency as well. That is never good. Your cat should never be yellow. That means they're jaundice and there's typically a liver situation going on. So that needs immediate attention.
Or there is red blood cells that are being attacked.
Or that, yes.
My cat got stuck in the dryer, but it wasn't running.
That's okay. Poor thing. Put him in therapy.
He's emotionally traumatized. Yeah. But
is
physically...
that the one that had the dilated pupils?
Yes. Now,
yeah, you know, as long as we're eating and happy and grooming and just running around, should be okay. Just monitor always for the neurological signs, because head trauma. I mean, that's what you got to watch out for. The head tilt.
But it wasn't on, right?
It wasn't on.
No.
It not that they know
decided
of.
To get in and
cozy
my cat,
up.
My cat's done that.
Yeah. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
Just got to check it before you hit the start button.
That's ideal. Hot tip.
My cat ate part of a house plant. I don't know what it is. Emergency?
I would take a picture. And there is a toxicology hotline with ASPCA?
Correct. It's the University of Illinois.
Yeah. And you can always just call them. You do have to pay. It's not free. But they...
I think it's $40.
40?
Right? I think it's 40 last time we called.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes, there is a cost, but it's not a huge cost.
Yeah.
They also have apps, too, where you can identify plants, right? Or even just using your...
There's Facebook groups, camera. Too, but you never know who you're getting in those situations, so...
And a plant's not as bad as a flower.
Right. Yeah.
Lilies are bad.
Very bad.
If your cat ate any part of an Easter lily, they need to be induced for vomiting.
Yeah. But most plants will cause some kind of GI upset.
Yeah, so vomiting and diarrhea could be possible.
My dog farted louder than normal, and it scared him. Is that something I should be concerned about?
Was it a chlorine fart?
It might have been if it smelled really bad, right?
It could have been. You never know. Usually, flatulence is not normal. In dogs. If your dog has flatulence, it's generally due to low cases of inflammatory bowel disease. And that's usually because more than likely they ate something they shouldn't have, or the protein source that's in their food is not the right protein source for them.
Mm. All right, well,
not an emergency.
Not an emergency.
No.
Okay. Or else I would be in the ER every day.
That might be TMI, but I'm sure the listeners love to know that.
I haven't smelled anything from here, so thanks.
if there's any takeaway from today. My dog tried to eat a... Oh, no, we did that one. All right, I'll give you guys one more, and then we'll out of here. My dog sneezed, and snot came out, like, a lot, and his breath suddenly smells like rotten fish.
Yeah, I would get seen for that. Not necessarily an emergency, but there could be something called an oronasal fistula, usually due to really, really bad teeth. The oral cavity and the sinus cavity are very, they talk to each other. They're very close. So definitely worth getting checked out. But I wouldn't say an emergency, would you?
No, notes, blood, yes, emergency.
Yeah.
Snot, no, but let us know. Is it left-sided, is it right-sided, or is it both sides? Mm. If it's left-sided, the problem's somewhere in the upper left cavity. If it's right-sided, the problem's in the upper right cavity. If it comes out of both, the problem's further back. So it could be back in the back of the throat or in the lungs.
Mm. All right. Are we good with our questions? You guys have any other little tidbits you want to add about emergencies? When in doubt, call your vet.
When in doubt, definitely call the vet. Don't ask your friends. Call the vet.
Rule of thumb is on animals, if you think it's an emergency, it's an emergency. Mm. You will hear me say many times on this show that no one will know your pet better than you. And it's very important for you to understand that if you believe that there is a problem, the least you can do is pick up the phone. If you go online to look things up, you could get such misinformation, especially from all these fly-by-night websites that are absolutely insane sometimes. If you go online, make sure you go to the ASPCA for the toxin hotline. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go to a university or VCA or some veterinary based website, mm-hmm. because usually that information is dependable.
Yeah.
And also, when you go into an emergency, understand that you're going to be under a lot of stress. Your animal, your companion is going to be under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And usually the veterinarians working in an emergency are under stress. So that can become a very toxic situation. Mm-hmm. Deep breaths. Do not tell them what you found on Google. Just give them a clear history of what's going on.
Thorough history. Yes.
And everything should be okay. If you have any questions, obviously, you can always get a second opinion, but unfortunately, in most emergent situations, you're going to have to try to trust where you're at. Now, as far as this podcast goes, I hope you guys are enjoying what you're hearing. We need your information. Like, what do you want to learn? This was a fun way to talk about emergencies. Mm-hmm. And remember, we can only do this and make it better is if you're actively involved. So please pause, listen, and learn, and listen to what we're trying to say, because we are here to help you make better decisions for your companion. We'll catch you next time.